For those of you who don't know me, my name is David Coy. I'm the minister here at St Paul's, and it's a great pleasure to have you with us today if you're visiting. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity on this Christmas Day to remember the birth of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that as we open your word together now and consider what it says, that you would stir us up to love you and to trust you more deeply. We pray that our Christmas would be about the Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy time with family and friends. We pray that our hearts would focus on Jesus and we would give glory to him. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, names are fairly precious to us. Someone once said to me, and someone else also said it to me, so that makes it true, of course. But they said that the name, we are very sensitive to our name, and it is the one word that we can hear across a crowded room. The name, our name, is very precious to us. As we were given our name, sometimes it was just because it was a familiar name that our parents enjoyed. At other times, it was because of the meaning of the name. I don't know what was the case in your particular instance, whether your name was chosen because, you know, they just liked the sound of it, or whether it was because of its meaning. I like to think that my parents chose my name because of its meaning. My name is David, and it means the adored one. It'd be lovely if that's what they were thinking when they chose my name. However, I suspect it just rhymed nicely with Peter, which is my brother's name. If you are named Rodney, I was talking about this a couple of weeks ago, it means land near water. So if you're named Rodney or Rod, then, it may have been the name itself rather than the meaning that was uppermost in mind. Barbara means foreigner or stranger. Doesn't seem like the kind of warm feelings that parents usually have for their children. But our names are precious to us. And I want us to focus today on the names that are given to Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. It's important to say as we come to this little section of the Bible that we have here Joseph's take on the birth of Jesus. If we were to go to Luke's Gospel, the story is told more from Mary's point of view rather than from Joseph's point of view. But here it is Joseph who is at the centre of the story. And as angels speak and he acts, it is him who is the focus. And Joseph is told in verse 21 by the angel in a dream that Mary will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus is actually a Greek form of the name Joshua. The Hebrew word Joshua in Greek is Jesus. It was a relatively common name. Joshua was a great hero of Israel's history. And the name Joshua, and therefore of Jesus, means the Lord saves. And so Jesus, this Jesus, is called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's exactly what the angel says in verse 21. In Jesus there will be forgiveness and people will be put right with God through him. And so Christmas is very special because it is the birth of the one sent to save us from God's just anger. Jesus' name was chosen not because of the way it sounded, because it was popular at that particular point in time, but because of its meaning. But then we meet a bit of a puzzle, because Matthew himself adds a little comment in verses 22 and 23, He says all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And then he quotes a part from the Old Testament scriptures. And it says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And you say, hang on, didn't he in verse 21 say, the angel say, you're to call him Jesus? So what is this Emmanuel? Why is Emmanuel introduced at this point? Well, the name Emmanuel is really a description of Jesus' identity. Kim is playing piano for us today. When we think Kim, we think musician. So we could go to Kim and say, hello, musician, and Kim would respond. Well, a little bit like that. Emmanuel speaks not so much of his personal name as what Jesus' identity really is. And Matthew explains it in this quote from the Old Testament, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I take it that's why there's such a focus in this short passage on the fact that Mary was a virgin at the time that Jesus was conceived. What is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Three times in this short passage that is mentioned. Now, marriage customs were such in the ancient world, and in fact were such even 100 or so years ago in our history, that engagement was quite a serious matter. People get engaged and break engagements relatively easily now. But the marriage custom then, and not so long ago in our history, was that once a person was engaged, that was almost binding. There were very serious consequences if a person broke their engagement. And my memory is that there was, even in Australian law, serious consequences for breaking an engagement not so long ago. So Mary, we're told right back in verse 18, was pledged to be married to Joseph. She wasn't actually married to him, but she was engaged to him. And the difficulty is, Mary is now pregnant, and Joseph has had nothing to do with it. The story is told from Joseph's point of view, and there is some uncertainty in Joseph. No doubt Mary has recounted the fact that the angel spoke to her and explained about this pregnancy to her, and that this child is to be named Jesus. We learn all that from Luke's gospel. But even so, it doesn't look good. In that society, it's very different in our society, but in that society, they are not yet formally married, but she is pregnant. And Joseph, who is a righteous man, that doesn't mean he's self-righteous, a holier-than-thou character. No, it means that he's a man who loves to do what is right by people. And he wants to do what is right by Mary. He loves her. So he has in mind not to have a big, public, embarrassing separation, but to divorce her quietly, to break the engagement. Well, he has a dream, and an angel appears to him in the dream and confirms all that Mary has said. That would have put his heart at rest. But as well as that, the angel commands Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. And Joseph, being a righteous man, being a man who wants to do what is right by people but also by God, Joseph obeys God and takes her home to be his wife. Now, The point of this is to say that God has come to us, not merely in raising up a man called Jesus, a religious figure who's come to save, but the point of that name, Emmanuel, God with us, is that God himself has come to us so that we might be saved. Jesus was not just a prophet. He was not just a great man. He was not just one of the series of religious figures in history. Matthew is saying, no, he is God himself come to us. Now we might say, so what? So what that God has come to us? I mean, that was 2,000 years ago. It's gone, it's happened. Whatever our view, it's already been and gone. Sometimes our picture of God, the picture we carry in our own minds, is a somewhat remote picture. And sometimes we can see God as a bit moralistic, perhaps a bit like a policeman, a God who is out to check up on whether we've been good or whether we've been bad. The good people he lets into heaven, and the bad people, well, we won't speak about what happens to them. And so in our lives, we try and be good. It's a bit like Santa, really, isn't it? We try and be good through the year so that Santa will give us presents at the end of the year. But it gets a little bit more difficult as we go through some of the hard knocks of life. Sometimes it seems, from our point of view, that for no good reason, God hurts people. And some of the people that are hurt are good people, even people we know. At best, we're puzzled about God, that he should let things like that happen. At worst, it seems contradictory. It seems cruel of God to do the sorts of things he's doing in this world. Well, that is often our picture of God. But the accounts of Jesus paint a completely different picture. Our picture is different to the Bible's picture. In the Bible, we see from this very passage that we have a God who is so committed to us that he's come to us himself. God has become a man. Jesus is a man, but not just a man. He lives life in our messy world. And at the end of that time, he suffered terribly. He suffered attacks during the 3 years of his public work. But then at the end, he's arrested, he's treated dreadfully, and he dies on a cruel Roman cross, one of the most barbaric and agonizing forms of execution that the Romans took delight in applying. God did that. And there on the cross, all our sins were taken away. Our failures were paid for. There, the person who will turn to Christ is forgiven, is accepted, whatever their background has been, and is loved just as they are. We meet a God who loves us dearly in Jesus. He is a just God, a just judge, But he's not a God who's trying to catch you out as if he's up in heaven with his policeman's notebook saying, aha, caught them, and writing it down so that he can catch you out. That's not God. God is a God who is wanting to win you over to forgiveness and to life. He takes no pleasure in hurt or pain, the things that we suffer in this world. He takes no pleasure in anybody's death. He knows suffering. He himself endured it in his Son, the Lord Jesus. He endured an unjust and agonizing death. And if you're one of those people who has come close to suffering, I want to say that God wants to stand with you in it. The world is a confusing and a difficult and a painful place. But it was Jesus who said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. But for all of us, God longs that we be saved from the justice we deserve. And he's paid the greatest possible price so that that can happen. The giving of his own beloved Son, the Son of God. That's why Christmas is special. And that's why Jesus' names are so richly important. Let's pray, shall we? Father, it boggles our mind to think that you would come into our world in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we think of you as remote and distant from our lives. But these words here in Matthew and in the other Gospels paint a completely different picture. Help us to come to grips with the magnificence of what you have done and to put our hope in this Jesus and to walk with him in forgiveness, in your love, in your full acceptance. We ask this, Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.